John. The Gospel of John, we're out of the discipleship, and we're in another ship. And I'm excited about this ship, amen? I'm really excited about this ship. Say, preacher, why are you excited about this ship? Because it's not the discipleship, amen? John chapter 8, John chapter 1 is what I meant to say, John chapter 1. And while you're turning there, John chapter 1 is opening, and John is writing in this gospel to announce to the world and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And that's the whole premise of this. Of course, Matthew represents him as king. Then you go look at Mark, and Mark represents him as servant. Luke then as the Son of Man. But then John's gospel is the Son of God. And so John is writing here, and he's detailing and announcing to the world that, hey, look, Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And when you come down to verse number 1 of chapter number 1, verses 1 through 8 deal with Jesus being the Word and the light of God. And John the Baptist is testifying to that fact. And so we pick it up at verse number 9, where I want to start reading today. And notice verse number 9 here, after they have already declared Jesus as being with the Word and being the Word and being light, John the Baptist has testified of that. Verse number 9 says this: that was the true light, speaking of Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Notice verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want you to pay attention to verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Today we're starting to abide in the sonship. The sonship. I like this. I like this. Say, preacher, you're saying that because you're a son. That's right. I'm saying that because I'm a son. But this is a good ship to be in. Amen. This is a great ship. As we explore another ship to abide in today's ship is the sonship. We enter this ship the moment we get saved and are born again. And this is an awesome ship to be in. And it's called the sonship. Don't worry, ladies. You're in the sonship, too. You're not a daughter. You're a son. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. You say, I'm not a son. In Christ you are, amen. Father, bless now in the sonship this morning as we discuss this very, very needy and necessary ship to discuss, just detailing all that we have in Christ. Lord, would be just a time that we would spend until you come back home. We won't be able to hit on everything that we have in the sonship, but Lord, it is such a tremendous ship to abide in and to be in. And Lord, I pray that throughout the course of this message, that those that are in the ship might be encouraged, they may be strengthened, they may be uplifted and exhorted, Lord, to just realize and recognize the beauty of being a son in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and I do pray that you would work in our hearts. If there's one today that is not born again, they're not saved, Lord, you might speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl. And Lord, there's so many privileges in being a son of God. And Lord, as we just tap on a few of those things, I just pray that you will get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Save that lost soul today. Encourage that weary saint. Lord, uplift the one that's trodden down. Lord, help that one that life's circumstances seem to be overtaken. Lord, most of all, magnify your Son, Jesus Christ, that we maybe have hope in him and recognize and realize it's good to be a son of God. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Minister in us, minister through us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We do have a special this morning. Fred's group's going to sing for us. Amen. Are you washed in the blood? And by the way, that's how you enter the sonship. Amen. Are you washed in the blood? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate that. Gee, can we get the side lights turned off? Just leave on the center lights there. I appreciate that. Otherwise, that's going to get too hot on my head. Amen. And I will start to perspire profusely, and I don't want to do that. Amen. And just turn these off on the side. Amen. The two outer switches. Yeah, turn. There we go. Amen. Hey, turn them all the way off. Just click the button off. Amen. There we go. Amen. And these two, good. Lights, camera, action. There we go. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in the sonship today. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I like this ship. Amen. Amen. Now, whether you're a daughter or a son, you're going to like this ship. By the way, there are many privileges to being a son that I experienced in my own family. Amen. I was the only son. So whenever my parents bought me as the son, guess what? It was mine, all mine. I didn't have to share it with sisters, amen. I didn't have to share it with brothers. It was mine, all mine. How many of y'all experienced that? You're the only boy, amen. Couples, you're the only boy that just, amen. And so when you are the only boy, you get some special privileges. I enjoyed hearing the term son. It was so endearing to hear son. If my dad said son, I knew he was talking about me because there was nobody else. Amen. The only time I didn't like when they would say son is when my mom would say stuff like, you're my favorite son. I'm like, you're, I mean, your only son. That's not fair. That doesn't work. Amen. And so I enjoyed being my parents' son. Amen. I thought I had the greatest dad. I thought I had the greatest mom. I mean, I had the blessings galore. I thought that my childhood was the childhood that every child should have had, except when I got my head combed. Amen. No child should have to experience that. Amen. But I thought I had the greatest childhood. We had barbecues. I mean, we went fishing. We went hiking. We went camping. We went to museums. We just did everything. And I just thought that as a son, I had it made in shape. My parents would talk to me about different things and had to give me the teaching and the training that I needed. We would have those, what you would call wisdom talks. Say, what's a wisdom talk? That's when your parents sit you down and they explain to you stuff from life's experiences, amen? That's why you know what I'm talking about, amen? My parents still have wisdom talks with me to this day. I kid you not. We just went back home, and the night before we leave, always we'll sit down with my mom and dad, and I'll say, Mom, talk to the kids, let them know what's going on so they won't just think it's just us, and so they give them a wisdom talk. And then we let the kids go away. You know what I do? I say, now, Dad, talk to me and Carmen. We need wisdom talks too. Amen. Y'all been married 60 plus years. Tell us what we can do and what we need to do and give us some wisdom as well. And so as a son, there's so many privileges that I experienced in my life that I just thought that was just the end of the deal. And then I found out about this sonship. What I have being a son of God, amen, being in Christ as a son of God, and that just opened up a whole new ball game, amen. I thought that my life was great as a son, as a Dawson. By the way, a Dawson means son of David, amen, just in case y'all didn't know that, amen. I had all these blessings in the sonship that were just open to me when I got saved. There are more blessings than I ever imagined. By the way, we've inherited eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the Son of God, and therefore we are called sons of God. Ephesians 1:6 puts it this way, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, speaking of God, hath made us, that you and I, accepted in the beloved. What does that mean? That means you and I, when God sees you and I, he doesn't see us. He sees us accepted in his son. He sees us in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So you and I biblically are viewed as sons of God, being that we are in Christ. Even though we may be daughters and we may be sons, we're all sons in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a result, we are called sons. Amen. Notice what it says down in verse 12 again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, hey, preacher, what are we talking about here? John opens up his gospel. He's letting us know that Jesus Christ was the Word. He was made flesh. He dwelt among us. Verse 9, he says he's the light. And he came into the world. Notice verse number 10. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus. The world was made by him, according to verses 1 through 6 down there. He says, and the world knew him not. And, you know, and we look at that and we would say the world knew him not. They had to know who he was. But let me just make it practical. We drive cell phones and we don't know the designer of cell phones, do we? And we use them. We drive cars. We don't know the designer of the cars. We watch televisions. We don't know the designer of the television. We just know it's a Vizio. It's a Sony. It's a Hitachi. It's a whatever. It's an off-brand. It's a budget brand. Amen. We live in houses. We don't know the designer of our houses. We just live in them. Amen. The Bible says he came unto his own. His own received him not. We think that's odd and that's strange, but we don't know many of the owners of things that we use to this day, nor do we care. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all care who made your cell phone? Unless you got an iPhone, then you care. Amen. Because it's actually worth something. The rest of them aren't worth anything. But oftentimes we don't care. We just take it and we use it. People who are in the world, they just use the world. They don't care that Jesus Christ made the world. Amen. If they knew, they would take better care of it. Amen. And so he says he was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Notice verse 11. He came unto his own. His own received him not. The Jews were his people. And he came to the Jews and they didn't know him. It says down in verse 12. But I like that. As many. What does that mean? That means anybody else that's left that didn't reject him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I want us to note some of the blessings that you and I have in the sonship. We've gone over several ships already. Sonship is by far one of the favorites that I have. Not just because I am a son, and I am still a son, and I am being a son, but because of the blessings that I found in being a son of God. It's special. It's a privilege. Notice, first of all, we are offered entrance to the sonship. In verses 10 through 13 down there, it says, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It says, born not of blood. That means we weren't born into the family of God, nor of the will of the flesh. There was nothing that your flesh could do to be born of God, nor of the will of man. There was nothing that you could do in your own will other than to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He says, but they're born of God. And so we're offered entrance into this sonship, and we have not rejected Christ as Savior. We have received him. The Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Our physical birth, we entered our natural family. With our spiritual birth, we entered our spiritual family, and we're offered an entrance into the family by the Son of God. Think about that. God offered you and I an entrance into becoming a son of God or a child of God. By the way, he didn't have to, but guess what he did? He said, there's the door. That door is called Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. He says, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He said, if you walk through that door, you repent of your sins, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive him, you'll be a son of God. That was offered to everybody. He came to his own, they didn't receive him. He said, but as many, anybody else, as received him, to them came he power to become the sons of God. And so it matters not who we are or where we've been or what we've done or who we know or what we look like or how much money we have or how smart we are or where we live or what we don't know. As long as we know the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, receive him as Savior, guess what? We have entrance into the sonship, and we are partakers of being sons and children of God. What a blessing it is. Amen. It only matters that we know Jesus Christ and repenting of sins and receive him. Amen. Notice what it says again, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God. That word power there means privilege. It means you have the right or the privilege or the opportunity to enter into the family of God. John 3:16 says this way, for God so loved the world that what? He gave what? His only begotten son, that who? Whosoever believeth in him. What did it say here in John 1:12? But as many as received him. Acts 10:43 says it this way, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 10:13 says it this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What am I saying? We have entrance into the family of God. There are some people that would love to be born into a prominent family like the president's family or the queen's family. There are some that would love to be born into a prestigious family, maybe like Steph Curry or LeBron James or LeBrant. Kevin Durant is what I'm trying to say. Amen. LeBrant. Amen. And he's like, who's your daddy? He's down in L.A. now. All the stories now about LeBron James' son at the school in L.A. Can you imagine one son that is so popular just because his dad's name is LeBron? Amen. Or can you imagine being so popular because your dad's name is Donald Trump? Or unpopular, whichever the case may be. Amen. Or you say, well, who's your mom? My mom's the Queen of England. Can you imagine having such a powerful name? Amen. Or what's your name? Putin is my dad's name. Amen. Powerful names. And then there's prestigious names. But then there are names that mean something to many people. Martin Luther King, that name means something to many, many people. George Washington, those names mean something. But to be a son of God. You know, only a select few people can be born into Michael Jordan's family. Only a select few people can be born into Steph Curry's family or Kevin Durant's family or the Queen's family or the President's family or a movie star or pop star, Justin Timberlake and some of these other guys out there. Only a select few can be born into those families. It's not offered to everybody, but the entrance to the sonship is to anybody. I don't have to be Kevin Durant. I don't have to be Steph Curry. I don't have to be LeBron James. I don't have to be Walter Payton. I don't have to be Brian Urlacher. I don't have to be any of these other guys out there. I can just be a sinner. And I can enter the sonship by repenting of my sins and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? It matters not of the prestige of a family or the power of a family or the popularity of a family. There is no greater family than the family of God. And as a son of God in the sonship, anybody can get in that ship. My question is, are you in the sonship today? I remember it like it was yesterday, February 3rd, 1991, when I entered the sonship. I bowed my head and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And right there on the spot, I
fact, set sail in the sonship. Amen. Why? I received him. And when I received him, repenting of my sins, turning my back on my sins and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, he placed me in the sonship and I began to set sail. Amen. And guess what? I'm still in the ship. I'm still abiding in the sonship. Say, preacher, I thought you were in the discipleship and the fellowship and the stewardship and the relationship. I am, amen. And preacher, I thought you were in the worship. I am, but I'm also in the sonship. I couldn't be in the other ships without being in the sonship. Amen. Amen. I like that. So number one, we are offered entrance to the sonship. It matters not who you are today. You can get in that ship. You can set sail in that ship. Are you in that ship? Hey, they sang the song, are you washed in the blood? Yes. Hey, it's being washed in the blood that gets you in the ship. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, then there's something else about the sonship. Not only are we offered interest into the sonship, we're offered enlightenment in the sonship. We're offered enlightenment. Say, preacher, what does enlightenment mean? It means to have your way opened up. It means to be guided. Go over to Romans chapter 8 with me. And to explain this point, I'm going to speak about something that's very familiar to both of you. Romans chapter number 8. We're offered enlightenment in the sonship. And notice Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 14. Notice what it says here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. That's a part of the sonship. In chapter 8, Paul is discussing the law versus the Spirit and the blessings of being Spirit-led. Notice what he says down there in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, how much condemnation? No condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. That means I'm in the sonship. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit. Then come down to verse 14. For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. Just like the voice of GPS guides us by cell phones and navigational aids, the Holy Spirit also wants to guide us by leading us. How many of y'all got a GPS? Amen. And they guide you and they tell you where to go. The Holy Spirit is just like that GPS, only much better. And he is never wrong. How many of y'all went to the wrong destination because your GPS was faulty? Amen. I have gone to the wrong, just slap wrong. Amen. Dead end streets sometimes. The other side of the wash. Amen. It didn't calculate that there was a wash. And so you end up at, you're thinking, well, I can't drive through the wash. I don't have a four-wheel drive. Amen. And they say, well, you got to go to the other side. Well, what am I, Evel Knievel now? I'm supposed to jump the wash? And so GPSs can be wrong. They can be wrong. But GPS is, they try to guide us and they want to lead us. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to guide us by leading us into truth along life's pathway by the word of God in the sonship. The word led means to guide, show the way, or direct. By the way, how many of y'all like me? Sometimes we try to outsmart GPS. GPS tells you to go that way. You think, I got a better way. That's going to take me 23 minutes. If I go my way, it'll take me 20 minutes to go this way. How many of y'all ever done that before? Uh-huh. Y'all, you might shake your head. You know you do it. Amen. We attempt to go our own way, and the GPS does something. It tries to reroute or redirect us to get us back on the correct destination. You hear them saying things like that. Make a U-turn. Turn around. Take a right at the next stop. Make a U-turn. And then you'll see these words on your GPS sometimes, recalculating. You know what recalculating means? It's computing the time that it's going to take you to get there now because you're going your own way. And then it'll say this, it'll say recalculating, and then sometimes it'll say rerouting. Know what it's saying then? Since you are bullheaded and you don't want to go the way that I'm going, let me give you a new direction. And so it recalculates the time that's different from the initial time that it gave you. And then it recalculates the directions, which are different from the directions that you initially had. And it'll say recalculating, redirecting. Now that means it's going to take you longer to get there because you thought you were smart. And now you're going to go a different direction. There's probably some traffic there. And then it's going to take you longer to get there. How many of y'all have done that before? Amen. I've done that. Amen. Now, sometimes I've outsmarted GPS. And I said, I know a quicker way. I know the back way. And I got there quicker. Amen. but there were potholes that tore my car up. So when you're looking at this thing called the lead of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will also try to redirect or reroute us to help us avoid trouble along the way. But sometimes we think we know the way. And the Bible says in Proverbs, there is a what? A way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, you might want to go your own way. And one thing I like about GPS, I don't know if you figured this out. I don't care if you're going the wrong way, it'll keep trying to recalculate to get you to the place that it wants you to be until you get to your end stop. And it'll recalculate and recalculate and recalculate and recalculate and redirect and redirect and reroute until you pull up to the destination. And then it'll say, done. You know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't always do that. The Holy Spirit sometimes says, you want to go that way? Fine. Go. And guess what happens? We got to come back. You get in trouble. You got to come back. The Holy Spirit is not like a GPS in that regard. The GPS will keep warning you, make a U-turn, turn around, get back on track. Hey, this is what you need to do. And it'll keep talking to you. Sometimes you can just grieve the Holy Spirit of God when he says, I'm not saying another thing because you failed to do what I told you to do. So go and crash and burn and then call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. And sometimes we've done that. I mean, we just went home here over the summer and the lady said, well, there's a road construction up here. Here's a map. Go this way. And I looked at that map. I said, I am not going that way. I said, that takes me way out of my way. I looked at my map. I said, I can go here this way and this way and this way. That thing took me around so many back roads and so many twists and turns. It took us forever to get where I was going. I said, I knew I shouldn't listen to that thing. But I went my way coming back. And guess what? My way was smooth sailing. You know, it doesn't always work that way. Doesn't always work that way. The Holy Spirit is the best guide. Notice what he says down there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. God in his wisdom and his understanding wants to guide you and I. And unlike the GPS, which will continue to correct you, God says, this is going to be my way or you will face the consequences. Sometimes God lets us have our way to teach us a lesson. And he wants to teach us about his will. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What am I saying? We have an entrance into the sonship. But once we get in that sonship, then the Lord Jesus Christ wants to enlighten us in the sonship. And he used this process of being led by the Spirit of God. By the way, the Spirit of God still leads us by the Word of God. And unlike the GPS, the Holy Spirit will always direct us into truth and that which is right. Can you go your own way? You definitely can. God is not going to force you to go his way, but he will lead you. And he will lead you into the right direction. How many of y'all have kids? Are you trying to go somewhere? And sometimes you know where you're going and the kids don't. And the kids run ahead of you. And just to make sure you teach them a lesson, you turn and they're still going that way and they panic. I've done that before, walking. Hey, come back here, come back here. They don't come, turn off. Hey, Dad, where you at? I left. Where you at? I'm here. Where are you? Well, I can't find you. I can find me very good. Why did you leave? I didn't leave. You left. Where are you? Here. You get really fun. I'm in my skin. Come find me. Amen. Hey, sometimes you like to teach them a lesson. Hey, look, I'm trying to lead you. So don't run ahead of me. Sometimes we run ahead of the Spirit of God. Sometimes we run ahead of God. He says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, my wife, bless her heart, she would never do anything as cruel like that. She is just the epitome of kindness and generosity. She just works with them and works with them. I just leave them. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Dad, you left us. I didn't leave you. I was right here. Mom would never leave us. That's because she's mom. Amen. I'm dad. I'll leave you. Amen. Hey,
hard lessons. And Josh was laughing. Yeah. I was like, that ain't funny.
What am I saying here? We are offered enlightenment in the sonship. Amen. Let me give you a third one here as well in the sonship. Not only are we offered entrance into the sonship, but as many as received him, to them he gave you power to become sons of God. And not only are we offered enlightenment, in the sonship, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. But then number three, we are offered enrichment in the sonship. We're offered enrichment. Say, preacher, what does enrichment mean? Enrichment means to improve the quality of, to improve the usefulness of, by adding to it, making it richer. By the way, when you were born, your parents set out to enrich your life, to make your life fuller, to teach you things, to add to your life. They taught you how to ride a bike. They taught you how to tie your shoes. They taught you how to potty train, not potty train yourself, but they potty trained you, amen. They taught you how to put on your clothes. They taught you how to brush your teeth. What did they do? They were enlightening you. They were adding to you. They were enriching you. If that were not the case, then you wouldn't know how to tie your shoes. You still tie them in knots. Amen. You'd still have Velcro on your shoes because you don't know how to tie. You wouldn't know how to brush your teeth. Your teeth would have cavities in them. Amen. You wouldn't know how to floss. You wouldn't know how to do your hair. You'd be a mess. You'd be a wreck. But your parents enriched you. What am I saying here? Notice verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The many things to enjoy in the sonship that can enrich our spiritual journey. Right here we see we have an audience with God in the sonship. It says we can cry, Abba, Father. When my kids call me, I can respond to them. But you know, I don't have to respond to every kid that calls me. Why? I'm not their father. But my kids can cry unto me. They don't call me father, but they call me dad. Hey, dad, and guess what? I answer. We have an audience in this sonship with God. We can approach God as our father. We can cry, Abba, Father. By the way, not everybody has an audience and the privilege that we have. How many of y'all know the model prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not everybody can call God their father, but you know what? You find people left to right praying that prayer. The only ones that can call me father, G2, Joshua, and Faith. No one else can call me their father. I've got three children. And when they call me, guess what? I listen. The Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. It's a term of endearment. It's Aramaic, meaning that he is our father indeed. And we have an audience with him. We have access to him. To do this, you must be born again by receiving Jesus as Savior. You must be offered the entrance to the sonship, and you must enter that sonship. And once you're in that sonship, you have enlightenment in that sonship. And once you have this enlightenment, you have enrichment. And one of the enrichments that you have is an audience with God. You can go to him and cry, Abba, Father. He is my father. He is my dad. He is my Savior. I know I had an audience with my earthly father because he brought me into this world, but guess what? I know I have an audience with my spiritual father. He will not turn a deaf ear on me. The only thing that can turn a deaf ear is if I regard iniquity in my heart. He will not hear me, but he will still acknowledge me. He knows that I am there. He is not obligated to answer my prayers, though. No more than my earthly father was obligated to answer my prayers when I disobeyed him. Amen. I go to my dad and say, Dad, can I go outside and play? Do your chores? No. Guess what the answer was about going outside to play then? No. Hey, Dad, can I go and get some ice cream? Do your chores? No. Guess what the answer was? No. No, you know, no. You go do your chores, then you get the ice cream. You go do your chores, then you can go outside. You go do your chores, and then you can watch the Flintstones. You go do your chores, and then. What am I saying here? We have an audience with God. We can talk to him, and it's the same way in the sonship. God wants to hear from us. Hold your finger there and go to Galatians chapter 4 with me real quick. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, you're going to find the same basic phraseology. Galatians chapter 4. And verse number 6. And he says down there in verse number 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but what? A son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What am I saying? The sonship. We have an audience with God. That enrichment that we have this audience so we can come and we can talk to God about anything. And when God is our listener, guess what? We have the petitions that we desire of Him. Being in the sonship is an awesome blessing. It is. Go back to Romans chapter 8 with me again. And we'll just touch on this one. Then we're going to close Romans chapter number 8. And verse number 15, we say we have this enrichment in the sonship. We have an audience with God. We also have something else in verse number 15. We have assurance from God in the sonship. Notice what he says down there in verse number 16. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That means the Holy Spirit, and your Bible should be a capital S. The Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that's man's spirit, that we are the children of God. We have assurance from God in the sonship. God's Holy Spirit assures us that we are His children. There was no doubt in my mind that I was not a son of my mom and dad. I knew I was a Dawson. They would tell me, act like a Dawson, walk like a Dawson, live like a Dawson, behave like a Dawson. I tell my children the same thing. I don't want them to doubt that they are a Dawson. I tell them all the time. I said, look, I said, none of you guys were born in Slovenia. Your parents are not slobs, and so you're not a slob. Nobody's born in Slovenia. Joshua tried to joke. I was born in Slovenia. No, you weren't born in Slovenia. You were born to the Dawson family. You're a Dawson, not a slob. We don't have slobs in this family, so don't act like one. He's telling that all the time. You know, who was born in Slovenia? Of course, somebody would always be funny and raise their hand. Nobody's born in Slovenia. Hey, we have assurance that we are the Son of God. We get assurance because we want to hear the Word of God. We get assurance because we want to obey the Word of God. We get assurance because we want to give to God. We may not be the best in obeying. We may not be the best in giving. We may not be the best in hearing the Word of God. We may not be the best in doing, but guess what? We want to. We want to. There's no doubt in my mind my children want to please me. There's no doubt in my mind they want to please my wife because they know, hey, I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm a son of God. Am I the best son that God ever got? No. No, are we? But you know what? He gives us an assurance. Notice what he says. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know it. The Spirit bears witness. We want to hear the Word. We want to obey. We're not the best. We want to obey. We want to do. We want to give. We want to go. We want to be used of God. We're not the best, but we want to. And the Spirit lets us know that. That we belong. That is a blessing of God. Not everybody walks around with that. Not everybody can walk around and say, I know I'm a child of God. I have assurance. The Spirit bears witness. I know I'm a son of God. I've got an audience with God. I can go to God. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I used to pray, and I wondered if God even heard me. I said, God, you must not hear my prayers. You must not be listening to my prayers because nothing is getting done. I didn't have any assurance. I didn't have an audience. But you know what? Now, I know I have an audience with my God. I know I can say, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. I can go to him and say, Abba, Father. I know that my spirit bears witness with his spirit. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. Hey, there shouldn't be a doubt in your child's mind that you are their parent. Shouldn't be a doubt in their mind. Just like if you're a child of God, there should be no doubt in your mind that you're a child of God. You have enrichment. You have an audience with God. You have assurance with God. I don't know about you, but I love being a Dawson. But I love more being a son of God. I love more being a son of God. God can do for me what my parents never could. God can take me when my parents never could. God can send me when my parents never could. God could forgive me of things that my parents maybe would not. God will cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. Not everybody can do that. But in the sonship, we have that. We have entrance into the sonship. Anybody can go. We have enlightenment in the sonship. We have been led and we can be led by God. We are offered enrichment in the sonship. We have an audience with God. We can cry, Abba, Father. We have assurance. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But the main thing that I want you to be sure of, are you in the sonship? Are you in the sonship? It's not like the discipleship. It's not like the worship. It's not like the fellowship. This is a sweet ship. We get to call God our Father. He's mine. And guess what? You can call him your Father. You have an audience with him. You have access to him. You can talk to him. You can tell him what you can't tell anybody else. You know, I thought I could tell my parents just about anything in the world. But there's some things I was just ashamed to tell them. I could tell them. I was just ashamed to tell them. I can tell God anything. Am I ashamed to tell him some things? But I tell him anyway. You know why? He knows. He knows. And I can tell God anything. I can tell him how I feel. I can tell him that I don't want to do it. I can tell him I don't want to go. I can tell him, I don't like this. You know what God says? I know you don't, but you need it. I know you don't want to go, but you need to go. I know you don't want to do it, but you need to do it. My parents used to tell me all the time. I said, Mom, why do I have to do this? And the answer I got a lot, because I said so. And you know what? Sometimes that was all I needed. You know, sometimes you know what God's going to tell you? Because I said so. And that's all you need. But other times God will say, I know. I know. But you know, Father knows best. This is what you need to do. And you read the scriptures a little bit more, he'll actually tell you why you need to do it. What am I saying here? It's a blessing being in the sonship. But as many as received him, have you received him today? Know that he loves you. And know that he wants you to be in this ship. And know there's so much that you have in this ship. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, thank you for placing me in the sonship. Lord, many may have rejected you, but I know I did not. Thank you for making me a child of God. Lord, I was happy being a Dawson, but I'm even happier being a son of God. Lord, I pray that you would bless now this invitation. Maybe there's some that have not entered into the sonship, but if they were to die right now, they're not sure that heaven is their home. And I pray you speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl, help them to recognize their need. Lord, then there are others that are in the ship. Help them to continue to abide in the ship, and not just abide, but explore the enrichment that they have by having an audience with you and the assurance. Help them to explore the enlightenment by being led of the Spirit. Help them to explore more in the sonship of what they have by being a son of God. Lord, thank you so much for what you have given to us by way of your Son. He gave his life, and Lord, I pray you bless. If nothing else, Lord, help us to praise you that we are children, sons of God, because we're saved. And we're no longer condemned and on our way to hell. And then, Lord, perhaps there's some that would say, I need to learn more about this enlightenment that I have. I need to be more led of the Spirit. Perhaps there's some that say, I need to be more enriched and get that audience and talk to God a little bit more. Perhaps there's some that say, I need to be assured that the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I am truly a child of God. Maybe they're far away from you. Maybe they've gone away. Give them that assurance today. Maybe someone just needs to talk to you today. Lord, help them to talk to you today. Well, thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're looking around. How many would be honest, say, preacher, I know I'm a son of God. I've received Jesus Christ. I've repented of my sins. And if I were to die right now, I know I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. And by a raised hand, you would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I repented of my sins and I receive Jesus Christ, there's no doubt in my mind, I know I'm saved. If I die right now, I'm going to heaven. No doubt at all. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. I mean, would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm in the sonship. I want to be in the sonship. And I see as many as received him. I want to receive him, but I'm not sure if I did yet. Would you pray for me today that I can get that settled? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm a son of God. If I die right now, I'm not sure I'm in that ship. Would you pray for me? All across this auditorium, man, woman, boy or girl, you raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure. Amen. Next question. If you are in the sonship and you have that entrance, have you experienced the enrichment in that sonship? Do you have the audience with God? Are you talking to him in prayer like you should about anything and everything, your ups and your downs? Do you have that assurance that he hears you? His spirit should bear witness with your spirit. Perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I don't talk to you as much as I need. I don't have the assurance that you hear me like I used to have. Perhaps you need to confess some things to him. Clear that barrier. And know that you have the assurance. Know you have the audience that you desire to have with him. Maybe you need to do that today. Father, I'm not sure what each person needs to do, but I do know it's a joy to be in the sonship. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Let's stand to our feet. As Natasha plays the invitation, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, preacher, I know I've been offered the entrance to the sonship. I've received it. But in that sonship with enlightenment, I'm not being led by the Spirit as I ought to be. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you're going the way that God is not directing. Maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to redirect you and recalculate your directions. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm not being led the way I should. Lead me. Maybe that enrichment, you don't have the audience with God. You're not speaking to him the way you should. Maybe pray, Lord, clear the pathway. Help me to speak to you the way I should. Maybe you don't have that assurance that God is hearing your prayers. The Spirit beareth witness. With our spirit, we are the children of God. Maybe you need to ask God, Lord, please let my spirit bear witness with yours. I want to hear from you. I want to talk with you. I want to see you. I want to cry, Abba, Father. I want to have that audience. It's a joy to be in the sonship. It's good to be a son of God. But it wouldn't be possible without Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you need to be saved? Would you come to an old-fashioned altar? Let's take a Bible and show you how you can be born again today. We'd love to help you. We'd love to help you. Or maybe you're already saved. And you say, preacher, you know, I've got entrance into the sonship, but I've not been baptized. Or you need membership there. You need to get baptized and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that first step. Maybe you need to surrender yourself and get involved in baptism and get into membership. Or perhaps you are saved and you are baptized. You say, preacher, I just need a good church home to belong to. Would you come? We'd love to tell you what you need to do to join the Shining Light Baptist Church. But you know, just like the entrance into the sonship is voluntary, you must come of your own accord to be baptized. You must come of your own accord to join the church. But if you're willing to come, we're willing to receive you. Willing to receive you. Perhaps you say, preacher, in the sonship, I'm not really sure what I need to do. Well, surrender to be led by the Spirit of God. Surrender to get in the audience of God. Cry, Abba, Father. Lord, what do you want me to do? Say, Lord, bear witness with my spirit what you want me to do. Show me in the Word of God what you want me to do. The sonship. Father, thank you so much for the sonship that we have because of what Jesus Christ has done. Lord, many under the sound of my voice entered that ship. Different dates and different times, one entered today, young Jackson. We thank God for him and his salvation. And Lord, I pray that you may help that young man to grow. Others have entered the sonship at different times, Lord, that have varied throughout the course of their existence. And I pray that, Lord, now those that have entered the sonship will enter into the membership by being baptized, and those that are baptized would join the church. Those that have joined the church, Lord, would talk to you, have an audience with you, Lord, and just have that assurance what you would have them to do as they're being led in the membership as to what their place, what their role is in the house of God, and everyone would be utilized for the glory of God and the plan of God, Lord, that we would all be used to reach others with a saving gospel, because you said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Lord, they cannot call on whom they have not heard. And so help us to put the name of Jesus Christ out there that others may hear and be saved. Thank you for loving us, Lord, today. And thank you most of all for putting us in the sonship. And as we abide in the sonship, Lord, help us to follow you in spirit and truth as we're led by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Pastor White has our announcements. You want to be back tonight at 5 o'clock.